Hey friends, welcome to the City Hope Podcast. My name is Bobby Thompson, and I have the privilege of serving as a lead pastor. I pray that today's message would inspire you, it would encourage you, and it would also challenge you in your walk with Christ. Enjoy today's sermon.
Well, good morning. Wow, I was not expecting really anyone to say anything, but thank you for responding. Well, yet again, Pastor Bobby's not here, so they send in the second best shooters for when he's absent. But rest assured, he will be back in town. He's still alive. He's still breathing. I know last week we had Ms. Shearer speaking for Mother's Day, and today you guys get me for a little while. But he will be back with us next week, continuing our sermon series. But before we get started today, I know Pastor Brian already mentioned it, but we want to connect with you. Just like he said, we always say we don't want anything from you, but we do want some. We do have something for you, and he hit it on the head. I actually had it in my notes to say it just like that, so maybe he read those ahead of time. I don't know. But we do need a little bit of information to connect with you. So grab the card beside you, scan the QR code, text us, let us know you're here. We want to connect with you guys. There's no way that we can serve you guys if we don't know who you are, right? No? Okay, cool. So, also, before we dive in today, I want to share another quick announcement for all of our students, current sixth grade. So when I say current sixth grade, I mean those finishing up their sixth grade year through their 12th grade year. We are getting ready for summer, right? All of you students are ready for summer? No, students are not ready. You want to go to school all year long? Parents, are you guys ready for summer? No, exactly. My daughter gets out of school next week, and I'm like, man, all summer long, yay. But we are excited. I'm very excited that one of my favorite times of the year is coming up. We get to take a group of students to beach camp. So I want to put out a quick reminder. If you haven't signed up already for beach camp, it's July 17th through the 21st. Make sure you sign up. Registration is still open. There are still seats available. However, after Memorial Day, which is this coming up week, prices will increase. So, parents, that's for your sake. If you don't want to pay a little bit more, but you want to get rid of your kids for a week, sign them up this week. It'll be a little bit cheaper. Also, we don't want finances to be a hindrance from anyone going and joining us for beach camp. So if that is something that you need assistance with, come find Cam. He's right over here. After the service, let us know. We have scholarships available. We want you guys to be there. This is a life-changing, impacting week. We baptized dozens of folks that gave their life to the Lord last year and previous years as well because it's such a life-changing week. Also, for those of you that have been tuning me out the whole time because you're like, we don't have students, this isn't applicable to us. If you guys want to be a part of making a difference in these students' lives, you know you can partner with us by offering a scholarship. We have those resources available. They cost us money, and if you want to say, hey, I would love to help you guys offset that cost, come find me after the service or someone on our team. We'll let you know exactly how to do that. Cool? All right, so we're going to get started, and please don't mind. I'm going to sit down a little bit today, but we are going to go ahead and dive in. We have been, the past couple of weeks, with the exception of last week, so really only one other week, we have been in this series called Stories. We're picking up, and all summer long, we're going to be going through this series where we're talking about different parables throughout Scripture. And today, I want to for us to kick off again by asking this simple question. And it's a question that my wife and I kind of bounce back a lot with one another. And it says, and we ask, we say, God, what is going on in the world? What's happening? Why is all this evil stuff around us going on? Have you guys ever asked yourself that? No, just me? Cool. Just so you guys know, I'm going to pause for 1 second. I'm going to tell you this little fact about Stephen. My background is education, and so my teaching style is a little bit different than those others that get up here and teach. I like to hear you talk back to me. And if that's not good enough, I grew up in a Pentecostal church where people shouted at the person on the stage. So if you want to throw out a little shouts and a little woo-hoo, praise the Lord, whatever you want to do, I got you. I'm your guy to do that too, okay? So, if you're like us, you've asked that question multiple times over because it doesn't matter how long, what you look at, if you scroll on social media for any sort of time, if you're looking at the news channel, it's completely chaos. No matter how long you're on there, you're seeing injustices happen all around the world. Deception, lies, violence, pride, brokenness. So much is happening no matter where we look, right? And a lot of times in the mix of all of that, there are people that are living for Jesus right there in the middle of it. So we ask that question and we're like, God, where are you? Why are you not doing something about this? However, in a parable in Matthew 13, it's called the parable of the wheat and the weeds. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Jesus actually knew what was going to happen. And just like it was going on then, it's going on today, and it's just as applicable for us today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. This is going to be a little bit of a longer passage that we're going to read together, but I'm still going to ask you to stand. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. It should be on the screen behind us. And if not, we'll read it together. So let's stand. Matthew 13, starting in verse 24. It says, he's presented another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed a good seed in his field. But while people were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and left. When the plant sprouted and produced grain, then the weeds also appeared. The landowner's servants came to him and said, Master, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Then where did these weeds come from? An enemy did this, he said. So, do you want us to go and pull them up? The servants asked him. No, he said. When you pull up the weeds, you might also uproot the wheat from them. Let both of them grow together until harvest. At harvest time, I'll tell the reapers, gather the weeds first, tie them up in bundles to burn them. But collect the wheat and bring to my barn. Now we're going to skip down to verse 36. Where he picks up and describes this parable. It says, then he left the crowds and went into the house. His disciples approached him and said, explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field. He replied, the one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed is those children of the kingdom. The weeds are the children of the evil one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather from his kingdom all who call sin and those guilty of lawlessness. They will throw them into a blazing furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom. Let anyone who has ears listen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be here, the freedom that we have to come to a place to worship you, to hear your word taught. Lord, I pray that you go before me in this message today. Let it not be my words, but let it be words from you through me, Lord. I pray that this lands on the heart of folks that are ready to receive what it is that you have for them today. And Jesus, we are just so grateful for what you've already done in the lives of the folks here and what you're going to do. We believe the best is yet to come. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. So, obviously, Pastor Bobby left the hard preaching to me today. When talking about the gnashing of teeth and the fire, I'm like, there, I think he did that on purpose. But we're going to get a little bit into that, but we're also going to talk through just what this means. Because you look at it and you're hearing all the weeds and the wheat and you're like, what the heck is happening? Well, I want to share a couple of truths with you today through this parable. The first truth is this. There is an enemy, but the enemy does not get the final word. So if you have something to scribble on, if not, grab the card next to you. We have plenty of those. Scribble this down. These are some things that is important for us to remember. There's an enemy, but he doesn't get the final word. Jesus identified the sower of the good seed as the Son of Man, the field as the world, the good seed as the children or the kingdom, which are the believers, the weeds, which are those of the evil one. And yes, Jesus mentioned the enemy, which is the devil. And I can look around the room right now at some of y'all's faces, and you're like, where are we at today? This is a little bit different. But I believe that this is so important for all of us to hear, no matter where you're sitting at, where you're at on your faith journey. And I know it may make some of us uncomfortable, But what we're called to at City Hope Church and what we're called to as leaders of this church is to preach the whole word. And that's what we're doing for you today. Amen? So I believe that it's critical for us to recognize that Jesus wants us to know that there's more happening than what we can see. That evil isn't just random, it's intentional. And it's sown by the enemy. I think a lot of times in our life, we can get a little bit sidetracked by what's going on around us. So we're going to dig and probe a little bit at those things today. But the Bible echoes this same teaching, this same parable all throughout Scripture. In John 10:10, it says, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it more abundantly. As I was preparing this message today, I was reading several different articles, and there was an article that said it like this, and I wanted to share it. The weeds Jesus referred to are likely a plant called darnel. Have you guys ever heard of it? Probably not, because it's not around here. But it's likely a plant called darnel, and it is a very, very poisonous plant. Perfect, the picture's up there. This is when it's a little bit older in stage, and you can see a little bit of difference there. But you have to look really closely to determine it. This poisonous plant very closely resembles wheat. Amanda and I don't know how many of you guys know anything about me, but I'm going to share a little bit of history about Stephen for a second. Amanda and I were getting ready and prepared to go overseas to serve as missionaries in Argentina for a little while. And as we were preparing that year before we left, I worked for a local credit union in our area called SRP. At this credit union, no matter what position you were going into, your job, and you had to go through this certain training for your job to recognize money. Well, you're working at a bank. They probably want you to know about money, right? We spent 4 weeks, hours every day. I think our training sessions was four or six hours every single day of the week, just learning to identify money. Not one time did they bring a fake piece of money in there to us. They brought us real currency, currency from the early days and current currency. And the reason they did that is because they knew that one day in our job, we would encounter fake currency. They didn't want us to take the time to study the fake currency because there's going to be so many different knockoffs, so many different versions. But they wanted us to recognize serial numbers and what they should look like. They wanted us to recognize the feel of what this currency should look like. So we spent weeks doing just that. And believe it or not, when we got into the field, what happened? Fake money showed up almost on day one for most of us. I share that story because I want you guys to see this. In the same way that we were looking for that counterfeit money and learning what counterfeit looks like, Satan is the ultimate counterfeiter. He doesn't plant the obvious evil. Back to that picture. He doesn't plant the obvious evil that we're going to be able to spot out instantly. From afar. He doesn't plant it off in the distance for us to look at. He plants the imitation right next to what we're doing and right next to the real thing. So my challenge for you guys is we don't need to obsess over every single little deterrence, every single little piece of deception that comes our way. Because the enemy is going to plant them and they will always be close to something that's real. In other words, the evil is not out there. It's here, and it's going to grow near what's good. So if we're living on mission, you know what? What's close by? Someone said it. Cam? Evil. Cam's listening if no one else is. But according to the parable, the enemy can only get to sow. He never gets to reap. Jesus is crystal clear that there will be a harvest coming. And the reapers will not be confused between the wheat and the weeds. The enemy might try to deceive us now, but his influence is temporary. His time is limited, and his fate is sealed. We know what the outcome is. Amen? The second truth is this. We live in a mixed field, but God knows who is who. If you go back to that parable, the servants in the parable noticed the weeds and immediately wanted to act. They said, Master, should we pull up these weeds? And the master's response was, no, you might uproot the wheat too. Why did he do this? Going back to that picture. Because the resemblance is so similar, he didn't want them to make a mistake. And the reality is, until it gets closer to harvest time, this plant right here, according to everything that I read, because if you know Stephen, he's not a farmer. So just FYI, if you do have a farm, never call me because I'm not your guy. But according to what I read about this picture right here, is this is still months, maybe even a year away from harvest. And so we can start seeing little things that look different. But until it gets harvest time, you can't really tell the difference. It takes time. And the key is, only time reveals the true nature of the seed. Only time will reveal that to us. This is where many of us struggle. We want to judge quickly. We want to come in there and clean house, get rid of everything that's not of the Lord. We want to come in and sort people, sort things out, get rid of them. But what Jesus is doing is he's warning us, slow down, because you might be pulling up what I'm still growing. I think back, another fun fact about Stephen, that everything that I just told you guys right there, that's me. I'm very quick to action. I like to follow the rules. If it doesn't belong on my list, I'm going to get it off, and we're going to move on from it. And that's just who I am. So I'm learning to work through some of those things, and that's okay, because we're not any finished learning and growing until the Lord comes back, right? Amen. At least for me. One thing, a little story about my high school, is there was a guy, if I could describe him as any way, I would say this guy was the ultimate ringleader of everything not good. If you can think of something, anything that's popping in your head, that was this guy. Probably plus some. So, he and I had I went to a school that was not super large, and we were in a community that was not super large. So it was kind of hard to not run in circles with one another. But, like I said, I'm pretty cut and dry. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to be done. Come to find out years later, the Lord wasn't done with this guy. You look this guy up now. He's written books for the Lord. He's a full-time missionary overseas. And just his story alone and his witness alone, because of what the Lord did in his life, hundreds and thousands of people have given their life to the Lord. And Stephen's over here like, oh, I don't want to be near this guy. But the reality is, I was judging the surface. I didn't have any clue what the Lord was doing on the inside. But the Lord was working. He was pruning. And the reality is, every single one of us in this room, no matter your level of discernment, we're all terrible judges of the heart. Only God can truly see the root. He can separate the wheat from the weeds without doing any damage to the crop around it. And that's why Scripture tells us this clearly. In 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." So instead of playing judge, it's our job to keep growing in our personal faith, to stay planted in the truth of the gospel, and to trust that God sees the full picture, which is kind of hard for all of us that are like Stephen up here. Ooh, got to let go of a little bit of that, right? But we know that God has our best interests. The third truth is this: judgment is coming, but so is justice. Ooh, that's hard. Judgment is coming, but so is justice. According to this parable, the end, there is no confusion. It ends with crystal clear clarity. And Jesus says at the end of the age, the angels will come, and everything that causes sin, all the deception, all the abuse, all the corruption, rebellion, and the list can go on and on. It will all be removed and destroyed. According to Scripture, I don't believe that this is harsh. But what I do believe is that it's holy. God's justice doesn't come because he's cruel, but it comes because he's a good God. Judgment is not about punishment, but it is about purification. Did y'all get that? Let's write it down. Judgment is not about punishment, but it's about purification. Think about the people in your personal life that you know for a second. People maybe that have suffered some sort of oppression or injustice. Don't you think they deserve a God of good judgment? Don't you think they deserve a just God that's going to be on their side? Don't you long for evil to be held accountable? I mean, after all, even us as a nation, that's what we desire, right? We want these people to be held accountable for their actions. And that's exactly what this parable is telling us will happen. The Bible's clear about it. God does not overlook evil. In Romans 12:19, it says this: "Vengeance belongs to me. I will repay, says the Lord." That's exactly what Jesus is promising us. He's going to deal with it. Not one weed will escape the fire, but on the flip side of that, not one stalk of wheat is going to be overlooked. Then Jesus goes on to say this, and this is pretty mind-blowing to me when I think about it. He says, "The righteous will shine like the sun in their Father's kingdom." So as a believer, that's our future. As a believer, we will no longer be shadowed by the weeds. We will no longer be tangled in sin. We'll no longer be confused or uncertain. But instead, Scripture tells us that we'll be bright, we'll be beautiful, we'll be made whole and complete in Him. So how should we live our lives while we're still commingled with the wheat and the weeds? I want to kind of leave us with these three takeaways, and we're going to kind of wrap it up fast today. But these three takeaways are this. Number one, stay in the field. Stay in the field. The world will stay mixed with wheat and weeds until the harvest. And just a reminder, the harvest is when the Lord will return. Don't lose heart when you're in the weeds. Grow anyways and bear fruit. Just like Pastor Bobby taught a few weeks ago. That's our responsibility as believers. We need to grow anyways and bear fruit. Galatians 6:9 tells us this. "Let us not grow weary of doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up." So I want to challenge you guys, keep your eyes on Jesus, not the distractions around us. Number two, stop trying to uproot what only God can judge. James 4:12 says it like this: "There is one lawgiver and judge who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor?" Our responsibility is to not be the weed pullers. That is not what the Lord called us to do. He has called us to be light bearers. Our job is to speak truth, to walk in love. But do not assume that God needs our help with sorting. He's got it. It's hard, especially for the type A's like me. It's hard, but God's got it. And number three, the last thing I want to leave you guys with takeaway as the worship team makes their way forward: share the gospel while there's still time. Share the gospel while there's still time. The reality is this: the harvest is coming. Jesus is coming back. But He's not here yet. He's not here yet. So what that means is that there is still time to reach people with the love and the hope of Jesus. Amen? So our responsibility doesn't change, no matter if we're in the middle of the field with the wheat and the weeds. Our job is to share the gospel and bear the fruit. If you would, go ahead and let's bow our heads for just a couple of moments. As we close today, I kind of ran through a lot of stuff for you today, but I believe that the Lord is speaking through this parable. And I believe that there are people in this room that are probably on both sides that are the wheat and the weeds. So today we want to create a moment, which is a little bit different. We've done it from time to time, but it's been a while since we've done it quite like this. We want to create a time where you can respond to the message today. Whether you're here today and you're discouraged by all the weeds in your world, whether they're at work, maybe they're in your house, maybe they're sitting right next to you, I want to remind you to trust in the Lord's timing. He's not done yet, and the harvest is coming. Or maybe you're like, Pastor Stephen, I have no clue what you just talked about today. I don't know if I'm a wheat or if I'm a weed or even what you just said. And that's okay. But what I want you to do is I want you to hear me clearly. Every single person in this room, Jesus died for you. He was planted in the ground, and he rose again so you could be a part of his harvest. He can transform your life from counterfeit to genuine. From someone who feels broken to someone who is whole and complete. From the darkness of sin to the light that he gives. He can give you that hope that you've been searching for. So we want to take the next few minutes today. The worship team, Pastor Joseph and the team up here, they're going to play some worship song, but this is an opportunity for you to respond. And maybe you're saying, Pastor Stephen, I don't feel like I'm in a place where I can tell anybody anything. We have people up here in place that just want to pray for you. You can walk up here and not say one thing to them, and they're going to pray for you. But then you can walk up here and say, hey, I want to surrender my life to the Lord. And they want to walk alongside of you to do that. So I'm going to pray really quickly, and then Pastor Joseph and the team are going to continue to lead us in this time of worship. But I want to challenge you, get out of your comfort zone. Step up, step forward. The prayer team, our deacons, our elders are up here. Our staff is here. And we want to love on you guys and support you the best way that we can. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the message that you gave us today. We thank you for the folks that are sitting here in this room. We thank you for their hearts. Lord, we pray, I pray, that if anyone is in here today that just needs a hug from you, Lord, I pray that they can come up, they can be bold to step forward and say, I want someone to pray alongside of me. I want someone to agree with me in prayer about what's going on in my life. Because we know the reality is, it may seem small to us, but it's not small to you. Or it may seem like a gigantic problem that maybe walking up is not going to even fix, but you know what? There's nothing that's too big for you to solve. You've already conquered it. And so, Lord, I pray that you just go before us. Give us the boldness. Give us the courage to step forward, to reach out, and to ask for prayer.
Thanks again for tuning in with us today. We would love to connect with you, and the best way to do that is through social media or go straight to our website. God bless you and have a wonderful day.